This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
Would you tell young people that they should never write anything in an email that might possibly be controversial in any way?
It's interesting. Now, I have email. I don't have...
Texting,
because my phone function is disabled. I now have an iPhone, but it is, you know, like the phone you give your 2-year-old.
Yeah.
Where like they can pretend to press things, but nothing actually happens.
Yeah, yeah.
So my phone has no phone, no camera, no music. All it has is the internet, and I can send emails. And I think it has like a weather box.
Yeah. Right.
So I send emails, but my rule has been throughout my presidency is that I assume someday, sometime, somebody will read this email. So I don't send any email that...
So you're no fun
at
all
point, no,
on email.
No,
yeah, no.
That at some point won't be on the front page of the newspapers.
How's the Wi-Fi at the White House? Is it good?
We just updated it, I think, a year and a half ago. And the girls threw a party because it's an old building. The walls are thick.
We weren't
getting real good signals.
We know. You know, you think about that, Wi-Fi, leave for Jimmy Kimmel, to ask about the Wi-Fi. Here you got the President of the United States and, we're chit-chatting about emails, ironically enough. And, maybe the president should have shared that idea with one Hillary Clinton that what she puts down in email can live forever, and with or without a bleach bit, I guess.
Well, there's an issue here that it's interesting to me because I don't remember an incumbent or a president campaigning as hard for his successor,
right?
As Barack.
Well, it's been a long time because in the past you had Bill Clinton in all kinds of trouble where Al Gore didn't even want to be associated with him because he was all full of bad news. And again, even with the Republicans, with George Bush, the media had pigpiled on him and put so much bad news on him that McCain felt like, okay, well, maybe I gotta go it alone. But here you've got.
I was too young to really remember, but did Reagan really push for Bush?
Yeah, I mean, the first time he was there for him, and the second time when it came for him to be reelected, it seemed like Bush wanted to be his own man. And my thought was, frankly, that I thought that Bush got tired, and there were some things there, that happened. But
the problem isn't that he's campaigning for Hillary. That's fine. The issue is that. He's
using our money.
Well, no, they're all going to use our money.
Well, some people are complaining about that, going, look, he's flying around Air Force One at the people's expense campaigning for somebody. Well, does this seem fair? I mean, because it's not like Donald Trump has the same.
Well, that's part of the problem is that he created the candidate that Hillary's going up against.
Mm-hmm.
He took away, there was always that mystique of the president.
Mm-hmm.
And, some of that luster seems to be taken away, and it has to be done by the actions of not only him, but Bush before him. Bush wasn't, at times, the most presidential, I mean, that every man's man, that eventually that wore thin. So,
Well, and that's what the media does. The media did that to Gerald Ford, he would stumble, he wasn't being as presidential as they thought they should be. And, Gerald Ford, for all intents and purposes, appeared to be a rather humble sort of guy, he was also the kind of guy you didn't want to get in front of his golf ball, which some people did. They'd go, what are you doing? Here's an amateur golfer hitting a golf ball, but they still stand in front of him, like they know what they're doing. I don't know. Pretty scary stuff. But no doubt about it. This is Bill Martinez. We're live. Stay with us. We've got more coming up right after this.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Well, we got game one of the World Series tonight. Hi, looking forward to that. Can the Cubbies do it? We'll see. Chicago against the Cleveland Indians. And, of course, game one tonight. Scott Majors with us right now, nationally renowned attorney, having received nationwide recognition for handling a variety of legal issues at the state, federal, and Supreme Court levels, including service as counsel on the internationally covered Baby T case. He's handled plaintiff and defense cases, represented all levels of clients from individuals to multi-billion dollar companies, was recently honored by a multi-billion dollar insurance conglomerate with the National Litigator of the Year, given to only one person. His most recent jury verdict was a $9.4 million verdict, including $1 million in punitive damages. Scott, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you, sir?
Great. Thanks for having me, pal.
Well, appreciate you coming on. I want to talk about this Penn State ex-coach case, Michael McQuarrie suing, you know, for $4 million in the Sandusky case. Break that down for us. What's going on?
Sure. He essentially was the former wide receiver coach and recruiting coordinator, who actually was quarterback there, too, a long-time Pennsylvania fan. And he sued for essentially three counts, a whistleblower action, defamation, and misrepresentation. And let me explain each of those. The whistleblower action essentially is trying to say that the school retaliated against him in an unfair way and therefore acted improperly and for his proper reporting of a sexual abuse incident. The defamation action is based on a claim that false statements were made about him because essentially President Spanier suggested that McQuarrie had committed perjury in making the allegations he made because he was backing, that is, Spanier was backing the other officials, Tim Curley, Gary Schultz, and some of the other people who had categorically said it didn't occur and they were never told. And then the third part is a misrepresentation claim, which is essentially based on the idea that they represented to McQuarrie, that is, Penn State officials represented to McQuarrie, that they would take action and take care of this incident, and they didn't do so, and as a result, he suffered damages. And so those three counts are in front of the jury in this two-and-a-half-week trial.
How much time passed, Scott, between the time that he brought it to, you know, to the university's attention to where this broke out? I mean, this was quite a period of time, wasn't there, that went by?
Yes, indeed. In fact, you're talking about, you know, 2001 when this incident was first reported, and, you know, nearly a decade later, you know, the incidents finally came to fruition. And you know, throughout this tenure, you know, there was at least according to the criminal prosecutors also, that there was this conspiracy to hide or protect Sandusky and others from public you know, exposure and to essentially, you know, quell or quash this particular discussion. And then, you know, when it finally came out, you know, as a result of several leaks, you know, they then treated him a little bit differently in that they placed him on administrative leave, didn't pay for his lawyer defense while they were paying for Spanier and Curley and these other guys to be defended criminally. Mm-hmm. And they also didn't treat him similarly because they, for example, offered other coaches Cobra and severance and other types of things. And for him, they delayed severance. And in fact, it's interesting, when he started testifying, that is when McCreary started having to serve as a prosecutorial witness, all of a sudden the school is then, you know, supporting him and starting to pay back his severance, you know, that they hadn't been paying for a while. And so, you know, you see this kind of disparate treatment, at least according to him, that supports the cause of action.
What a tough situation for Mike McCreary to be in. I mean, here he is. I mean, he's a tried and, you know, blue and true, you know, Penn Stater, and for him to go through this, I you know, it's just a heartbreak for him, as you say, as a quarterback, as a coach, you know, he lived for Penn State, and then all of a sudden this is there. I mean, he's got Coach Paterno on one side, all the other coaches that he had built relationship with, and I imagine he had some relationship with Jerry Sandusky as well.
He clearly had a love for Penn State. It was his only desire to be working for Penn State, to work up to the ranks, to perhaps, you know, escalate into an eventual head coach position. There is no doubt about his loyalty to the team and to, you know, Paterno and others. And he clearly had relationships which were severed. And, you know, it was a difficult situation because the Penn State made the horrific mistake of coming out initially denying all the allegations and circling the wagons and engaging in this protectionistic, throw everyone else under the bus mentality. And mm-hmm. So as a result, people looked at McCreary as almost like, at first, a rat, like he's out telling people, and they misunderstood the reality and the significance of how serious this was. And there was just a retaliation. A lot of Paterno supporters and diehards who just didn't want to admit that he knew, and Sandusky supporters just came at him because of the way in which this was presented by Penn State. So he created a horrific situation for him, and essentially he got singled out and really got torched as a result. And you know, it's interesting.
He became the proverbial scapegoat.
He sure did, and I'll tell you that it's really unfortunate for him because he ends up getting torpedoed out of the industry, and he's not really employable by anybody. And it's a terrible situation because it's ironic that the guy who actually exposes the pedophile is the single guy who suffers the most and ends up being, you know, out of the coaching industry, you know. And so Penn State is faced with a difficult proposition. They probably should have settled this case, but they're faced with a difficult proposition in that they're going to have to defend against this and basically take the position that somehow they put them on administrative leave for security reasons and threats, which is what they're doing during this trial, mm-hmm. and that somehow, you know, it wasn't retaliatory in any way, and the new coach, you know, O'Brien, had the choice of whoever he wanted, and we couldn't control those decisions, so we couldn't control exactly, you know, who would be selected to continue on. But there's just a unfortunately disparate treatment of McCreary and a really collective mistake in the way in which they approached, you know, first attempting to bury this and then, you know, defending and then trying to figure out a way to get around what would ultimately be a lawsuit by McCreary.
Well, and like you say, I mean, there was such a clear disparate treatment between him and the other coaches. So how do you get around that?
Well, I think they have a big problem. And interestingly enough, you know, you have, you know, some of his claims involved, you know, you guys making false statements. And there isn't any dispute that these people made false statements that, you know, there was a cover-up of sorts. In fact, Curley, Schultz, and Spanier, these officials who were the president and recruiting heads and heads of the school, you know, actually have been indicted on failure to report child abuse and child endangerment charges, and in fact conspiracy to cover up the entire incident during that time. And, you know, it's interesting how their defense was being paid for by the school, but nobody's paying any of the legal fees associating with with Mr. McQuarrie's
right.
You know, time that he had to spend and testimony that he had to give on multiple different cases. You know, Louis
Well, well Scott, we got to leave it there. Thank you so much for bringing us
sure.
up to date on it. I want to have you back and as this trial progresses and keep us informed. Scott Major, I'm Bill Martinez Live.
Diabetes is at war with your circulatory system. Fight back with Cardivite. Cardivite is a dietary supplement containing powerful herbs for circulation and healthy cardiac function. Improve your energy, stamina, and mental acuity. Reduce swelling, cold hands, and risk of amputation. Get your blood flowing with Cardivite. This 5-star rated product was developed by a diabetic pharmacist and is available online at www.getbloodflowing.com. That's www.getbloodflowing.com.
Offer not valid in all states or where prohibited by law. See website for details.
Need some extra cash today? Do you have bad credit or maxed out credit cards? If so, turn your radio up. 45cash.com is one of the nation's largest personal loan networks with over 50 different lenders. Now you can get a personal loan for up to $5,000 with any type of credit discreetly from your computer or smartphone and with no paperwork to send in. That's right, no paperwork whatsoever. Your cash will hit your bank account as soon as tomorrow as our lenders have millions of dollars to lend regardless of your credit history. Visit 45cash.com and you can have up to $5,000 in no time. Just have a checking account and a regular source of income and you can get the loan you need now, regardless of your credit. Go to 45cash.com from your smartphone or computer to get the cash you need. Visit 45cash.com. Type www.45cash.com directly into the address bar. That's 45cash.com. 45cash.com.
Has neck, back, or shoulder pain got you down? Go to sunshine-pillows.com and get soothing comfort, support, and pain relief fast. Their microwavable heat therapy pillows and wraps treat neck and shoulder pain, reduce stress, and relax the soul. An ergonomic pillow from Sunshine Pillow supports your head and neck on long trips or when simply resting at home. Be good to yourself. Visit sunshine-pillows.com. Sunshine-pillows.com.
There is an affordable alternative to the high cost of healthcare that offers freedom from insurance while providing compliance with the Obamacare individual mandate. Imagine having access to quality, affordable healthcare that allows you the freedom to choose your doctor and hospital. Members can share up to 100% of necessary medical expenses, including some alternative treatments. Find out how you and your family can contain healthcare costs without giving up your freedom. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
This is a healthcare alert from the Pain Relief Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You don't have to suffer any longer. You can immediately qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you by calling our 24/7 Pain Relief Hotline at 866-389-0620. Delivery is free and all paperwork is handled for you. If you are on Medicare and have knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain, don't wait. You can qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost by calling our 24/7 pain hotline now at 866-389-0620. Our representatives are standing by 24/7 to take your call and rush you your pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you. Shipping is free and all paperwork is handled for you. Just call 866-389-0620. That's 866-389-0620. Again, 866-389-0620.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable for the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA. Go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
You're listening to Bill Martinez live. Your program, your calls, your opinions. Bill Martinez live.
Hey, whether it's in any one of the 280 affiliates we have across this country or around the world via shortwave, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. Good to have you along with us. It's just about 19 minutes after the top of the hour. You know, we're hearing a lot these days about, you know, keeping up with the Joneses, right? And of course, we kind of grew up with that whole line of keeping up with the Joneses. Well, our next guest said, who are those Joneses anyway, right? And the subtitle of their award-winning book, it was internationally recognized, is Stop Living Someone Else's Life and Start Becoming Who You're Meant to Be. Bob and Susan Karcher are with us. They co-wrote the book. Bob is a writer, speaker, and coach. Susan is in real estate. She sells lots of homes, and both of them are very successful. And I guess maybe both of you were affected by that whole Joneses kind of aspiration as you were growing up. Bob and Susan, what do you say?
Thank you for having us on your show, Bill.
Good.
Yeah, you know, so many of us get caught up in that keeping up with the Joneses moment, right? And that's a phrase that's been around for 103 years, and as you talked about earlier, it's also a current movie. Mm-hmm. So it's something that sticks with us for generations, and that is a life that we are living and chasing for all too long, and looking for the wrong places for discovering who we were and seeking our identity in all the wrong places.
Right. Susan, why did you and Bob, I guess you felt some, you know, some sense of being compelled to write this book.
You're absolutely right, Bill. We're just like, you know, a lot of your listeners, ordinary, hardworking people, and we found ourselves just trapped in this race that we didn't even know we were in. Mm-hmm. Like Bob said, we were just, you know, chasing all the wrong things, building, acquiring, achieving, and then, you know, the economy hit and our lives just changed. And along with others, we got caught up in the Great Recession and everything we had just came tumbling down like a house of cards. Mm-hmm. And we did not know what to do. And there just came a time where we had to stop and look at ourselves and say, what are we doing? You know, what are we chasing here? What are we trying to keep up with? And then I asked the question, who are the Joneses anyways?
Right.
We really, really had to sit and think, what are we going to do and how are we going to live differently? And the more that we started to share our story with others, they began to share their story with us. And we realized, wow, we're not alone. We're not the only ones going through this. And so then we decided to write the book so that we would share our story and other people's stories and encourage them to share more. And we just, and that's the conversations we have these days. And it's pretty enlightening and it's liberating, actually.
Right. Well, Bob, you know, Susan suggests, you know, we get on this hamster, what I call the hamster wheel of life, where, and particularly in the last 8 years, it's been tough. We, you know, much of America has been in survival mode. Mm-hmm. And the challenge that we have when that takes place is that that begins to identify us as opposed to who we are purposed to be at the very beginning. And we lose sight of our identity when we find ourselves more searching for survival than identity, because at the basis of anything that will get you through the good and the bad times, it's it comes down to who you are, doesn't it?
It sure does, and that's exactly the struggle that I faced, Bill, when we found ourselves during the Great Recession, with my having lost my 25-year career in the publishing and advertising world, mm-hmm. And Susan's real estate business struggling is and the revenue not being where we wanted it to be,
right.
Was who am I? And I had come to identify myself by things like titles and houses and cars. And the hardest thing for me to give up, Bill, was that world identity, because that's who I thought I was.
Mm-hmm.
But in this transformation that we've been through, I've discovered that that's not who I am. Who I am is based on who I am in God, not who I am in the world, and
mm-hmm.
why I'm here. And so you hit the nail on the head, exactly.
Well, Susan, it's tough, especially, you know, like Bob says, when you have this identity of success and things are rolling along and you think just because the way they've been, they're only going to get better because this is the way we grew up, is that, and especially with both of you being in some form of marketing, you know that you cannot just tread water. It is a dynamic expression that demands that you grow. You cannot stay in the status quo. If not, you're going to lose ground. And that is that chase that you, that continual chase of things and things that are temporal and not eternal. But you had to come to that point where you had to say, okay, what are we going to, you know, we're going to fight for something. What are we going to fight for?
No, you're absolutely right. We had to decide. We had to think differently and live differently. And so we basically had to redefine success.
Mm-hmm.
So success for us, we learned, is not measured by what we have, but by who we are and how we give. So we started to live differently, and we started to make those changes. And, you know, I'm going to tell you, they were not easy changes to make.
No,
we still had
right.
our personal giants,
right.
you know, that we had to face, and we had to learn to move from conspicuous consumption and struggling and trying to chase to just a life that was more fulfilling. And we had to be ready to make that change, and I think that's the key. You have to say, I am ready for change, and this is what I'm going to do. And you begin to change the way you think and the way that you live. So we did learn that I am good enough, mm-hmm. that God has made us perfect in who we are. And for me, Bill, it wasn't really chasing stuff. My thing that I was chasing was I just wanted to be accepted. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be loved and liked. So mine was internal, but I had to come to the realization, I am perfect the way God made me, and I'm going to be just fine.
Yeah, right, exactly. Bob, for you, what was your first step?
Well, my first step, Bill, as I mentioned, is really re-identifying myself. And in something that we call our Joneses moment now, affectionately, was mm-hmm. that moment of realization when Susan asked, who are the Joneses anyway? And that really kicked it off for us. And so my mm-hmm. first step was saying, I need to identify myself with a purpose that's much higher. And yes. for us, that happens to be a faith-based purpose that says, God put us here for a reason. And then, I wanted to accomplish that reason. Then I had to start to dig in and figure out, why is it that I'm here and what is it that I'm called to do? And so that was the very first step, Bill, was re-identifying myself. And that takes time. Mm-hmm. That's not easy to do when your
exactly.
identity is so sought somewhere else.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's quite the battle royal that takes place. Susan, a lot of couples, you know, are unable to survive this kind of moment and this kind of conflict. How were you and Bob able to survive and hold your relationship together? And dare I say, probably it's a lot better today than it was even then at the best moments that you thought you were enjoying.
You're absolutely right. We just had to learn to compromise a lot more than we had before and ask ourselves, do we really need this or do we just mm-hmm. want this? So we had to learn the difference between need and want. And we would have to, you know, say, okay, what are we going to do here? But we had to laugh a lot, too, because, I mean, we would look at things and say, do we really need that? And we'd buy it just like we used to, and we'd get mm-hmm. home and look at it and say, you know what, we didn't really need that, did we? And we'd start laughing.
Mm-hmm. And then, you had another one of those Jonesy moments again, huh?
Yes. I mean, we're not cured completely, and we
right.
do go back and slip. But then we have to look at each other, and we made this acronym, and it's pretty simple.
Mm-hmm.
And with having four kids, we had to kind of teach our kids as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, need, end. Do you really need it? The E is explore all your options. The other E is enhance. Will it enhance your experience? And then D, make a decision and live with it. And so now we use that all the time.
Boy, that's a good acronym. I love that. And I know our audience is taking notes on that, Bob. You know, so here it is. You guys, you got to walk it out. It's a process. It doesn't happen overnight. You're further down the road you were, you know, today than you were when you first started realizing the Jonesy's influence in your life.
Absolutely. And you hit the nail on the head again, Bill. It's a journey. And as mm-hmm. Susan mentioned, it's something that we continue to struggle with from time to time. But we're convinced that what matters more to us are things in life like faith and family and living legacy, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
yes,
many folks
right.
think about our legacy as something that happens when we die and is left behind. But our legacy gets to be something that we create today. And in the way we spend our time and our financial resources and in the way that we give our lives away.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the big part of the learning journey is how do I go from a life of seeking joy from the outside in to the inside out?
Exactly. Well, Bob and Susan Carter, thank you so much for coming on the show talking about who are the Joneses anyway, especially in light of this movie that's capturing a lot of attention. I know it's going to be very entertaining. Where can they go to get their hands on your book?
Well, the best place to go is the whoarethejonesesanyway.com. Our website has book trailers and ways to contact us, the author.
If you want term life insurance, call LifeQuotes. We guarantee you the lowest prices, or we will pay you $500. Plus, get up to $1 million in term life insurance with no medical exam. You do need term life insurance. Call LifeQuotes now.
800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164.
Flu
season is here, but there's something else going around that can be even more contagious. And that's hope. Rite Aid is committed to spreading hope, not the flu. In honor of all our customers who get a flu shot, the Rite Aid Foundation is donating over $1.8 million to more than 350 KidSense charities committed to the health and well-being of children in our communities. So come in today and get your flu shot. No appointments necessary, and it's free with most insurance. Rite Aid. With us, it's personal. Flu vaccines available while supplies last. Age restrictions apply in some states. See pharmacy for details.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
Have you ever thought you'd like to flip houses but didn't know how or where to get the money? Are you ready to be your own boss so you can start living the good life? Hi, I'm Preston Ealy. I used to be so broke. I had my electricity turned off 9 times, but I figured out a way to quit my job and find financial freedom in real estate. For a limited time, I want to send you a free copy of my smash hit selling book, How to Get Rich in Real Estate. It shows you how to copy exactly what I did so you can make money from the comfort of your own home without even doing any manual labor. I've already given away 5,000 books and they're going fast. To get one before they're gone, call 1-800-958-9256. Listen, if you're sick and tired of stressing about money, this book could change your life. It's short, fun to read, easy to understand, and awesome. To find out how to get your free book while supplies last, call 1-800-958-9256. Call 1-800-958-9256. 1-800-958-9256.
Listening to Bill Martinez live. It's always a great day here at Bill Martinez live.
Hey, given the option, I'll choose the great day. Why not? Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here, 28 minutes before the top of the hour. And Bob Karcher was cut off a little bit. Who are the Joneses anyway? Their book is available at Amazon, and you can go to their website, whoarethejonesesanyway.com, for more information. Get involved with their blog. Good fun. Share your own stories and your conquering moments, those Jonesy moments that have crept into your life. But really appreciate Bob and Susan coming on and talking about their book, Who Are the Joneses Anyway? Dr. Frieda Birnbaum is with us, New York metropolitan-based research psychologist, psychoanalyst, author of Life Begins at 60. I know you're saying, Martine, it's about time you had a psychoanalyst on the show. Could probably figure you out. Her book, Life Begins at 60, A New View on Motherhood, Marriage, and Reinventing Ourselves. She's an expert on depression, women's issue, and attaining happiness. And she happens to be in New York, one of my favorite places, especially come around Christmas time, as we were talking about earlier. Dr. Birnbaum, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
Thank you so much. Welcome to yourself as well.
Well, thank you. Hey, let's talk about the sales of Halloween masks. And I was reading something the other day that these sales of Halloween masks are pointing to an ominous prediction for Hillary Clinton. What they say is that the popular mask seems to be an indication of who will be the next president, and it has followed the order. Now, if that's the case, what do these pollsters know? But the people that are out there buying masks are buying Donald Trump's mask more than Hillary Clinton mask by 7 percentage points. So that could be a foreboding tale for this upcoming election. I don't know.
I don't know. Well, he is funnier, you have to admit that.
Well, yeah, without a doubt. I mean, there is, you know, if you were going to go to a cocktail party, maybe somewhere, and you just wanted to, have some time, and I would think it would be a fun time sitting there with Donald Trump and just talking story, you know, talking
himself.
Life. Yeah.
He is what he is. You know, he's up front. So that's very, very interesting to be with someone like that. You know, as we know, Hillary's so guarded, and that smile. Actually, I have her mask right here. With that wonderful smile, speaking of which, Hillary. But, you know, it's one of the most offensive costumes you could be wearing today, because there's such anger between each of them that the people that are voting have anger as well. It's like a huge dysfunctional family, and it's so controversial. If you wear one or the other, that's it for the evening. There's nothing else to talk about.
Really? No candy for you. You don't even have to walk.
Get it.
They're going to throw it at you. But, you know, part of this, Dr. Birnbaum, and my philosophy, or at least my read on this, is that, you know, we've been covered by political correctness for so long. We've been so careful about what we say. And what Donald Trump and even Dr. Ben Carson have done is they've knocked down those walls of political correctness. And so now we're having like everyday conversation. I mean, you're from New York. You're used to this kind of stuff. Everybody else, you know, they're all sensitive. They have their safe zones and things like that. I mean, you go and order a cup of coffee and you can get easily offended just because, you know, the guy's saying, hey, hurry up, order your coffee. This isn't Starbucks, you know?
I mean, are you kidding? They slammed the door in my face when I'm walking in, so... Forget that. You're lucky to be alive when you're in the city. But, you know, it's a different world. It's a different culture. We're talking about these two cultures, you know, what they represent. I mean, here is Hillary, who's well-scripted. We're not going to try to make it political, but, you know, here we go. You know, it's how she says it that helps her. But it's with Donald, if you hear what he says, it's really what he says. So it's extremely controversial. You know, he said, she said kind of thing every single day. What's going to happen when one of them is already elected? We'll have to find something else, another Saturday Night Live skit or something going on there.
How do they survive? I mean, whoever gets it, they've been beat up. I mean, it's one thing to, you know, see these candidates get beat up in the primaries. Of course, Donald Trump was 1 against 16. Hillary won against maybe 2.5, 3. So she didn't get beat up too badly. But now in the primary race here, not the primary race, but in the main race, the main event, I mean, there's so much blood all over the place. It's like whoever is the last one standing, boy, I mean, they need a lot of therapy, you know, between now and January the 20th, I would think.
You know, power rules, and they're very much into power and to status, both of them, equally so. You know, psychopaths make the best president, and Donald is one of them. Narcissistic, you know, full of himself, confident. People want that. They want that kind of leadership quality.
Well, and the thing is, it's nothing new. You go back the lineup of presidents, and you see narcissism running deep. I mean, it takes an exceptional mindset to want to be president of the United States. I mean, who wants to make, well, of course, now they make $400,000 and they spend over $1 billion, you know, to reach that office. You know, going in early on, they were predicting somewhere around $4 billion between the two of them, but Donald Trump is not about to open up his checkbook that wide.
Yeah, you know, we're talking about, you said the magic word, office. And people will do anything to get to that place. After all, their name goes down in history. They make huge decisions to not to quote him, but I just did. But, you know, we have somebody, we have two people that we don't really, are not too excited about. And you can't discuss it to anyone because if you do, if they don't agree with you, friendships, 7% of friendships are dissolved because of this. Could be a good reason why to get rid of somebody. But that is, you know, the statistics. And 70% of people feel that they're worse off than ever. We're talking about, you know, a real life situation, and when we're going out for Halloween and we see these people, these faces, we really take them seriously. Donald Trump would be great to have at a party to talk to. Hillary is somebody who is getting all the percentages. She's doing well because people are comfortable with that, but they're not comfortable with each other, with each other's personalities. And that's what the problem is. We know nothing about the facts. We don't know enough, have enough information, but we're so fixated on the characters that it's interesting that Halloween is coming out right now, and it's the people behind the mask. Wouldn't that be a great thing to talk about? Who are these people that are putting on this facade? In reality, Donald Trump, as people know him personally, is a very charming, low-key person. Would you believe that?
Yes.
And Hillary is the opposite of her image. She's angry a lot of the times. And these are people who have quoted saying this about her that work for her.
Yeah, she throws things. You know, she throws things at people. Dr. Birnbaum, you don't throw things, do you?
I try not to. This Halloween when we're walking around here. But speaking of, we could talk about politics forever because, you know.
But let's talk about the other mask.
But, you know, politics has changed so much that sexually speaking, you know, that our morals have changed, you know, with Kennedy. People looked away, double standards. It was different. And now what's going on is that Clinton, Trump, it's a new generation. We don't look away anymore. But our politics, the arena has become sexually oriented. It's about sexual assault. And we're in this place that we're so much into that we forgot what anything else is going on about. And that's why with these masks, we can make fun of it. But the whole thing is very peculiar because when we're talking about our sexual exploits and with Donald and his sexual exploits, it really makes no sense because they are coming from different times and we're voting for people that are in today's time and we're not voting for the right reasons. I don't know what I just said, but let's go on.
I was trying to take notes here. I mean,
okay.
You know, all of a sudden we went from masks to sex and the whole deal
and the irony
of it all. You and I got to get back together again. I mean, just to, you know, get into these because we're talking people are, you know, all of a sudden we got people, you know, you can't wear a clown mask anymore.
But you know, here, we can't wear clown masks anymore, but here we're talking about Bill Cosby, all right?
Yes.
A smooth transition.
Okay.
They actually have costumes that Bill is carrying this woman.
Oh, my goodness.
And they have one with Trump, too, that he's groping a woman. So we're talking about, if I have 5 seconds, I didn't talk about anything else. You know, black faces.
Yes.
You know, black men in this country are in danger often.
Well, Dr. Freda Birnbaum, we're out of time. We got to leave it there. Thank you so much.
I'm Joan London. When I needed to find senior care for my mom, I really struggled to find the right fit until I found an advisor, someone who had been through this before. That's why I recommend A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service. They have experts who will help you ask the right questions and find the right place. Call A Place for Mom today.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-437-5914. That's 1-800-437-5914.
A Place for Mom has helped over 200,000 families find the right senior care for their parents, from assisted living to independent living, even Alzheimer's care, and have local advisors that can help explain your options at no cost to you.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-437-5914. That's 1-800-437-5914.
Call today.
Are you ready to leave your corporate job behind and be your own boss? Have you ever dreamed of owning a business? Do you have $50,000 or more sitting around in a 401k? If you answered yes, it's time to invest in yourself by buying or starting a business or franchise. IRS code allows you to use money in a 401k to invest in a business with absolutely no penalties or taxes. At Guidant Financial, we've helped more than 11,000 entrepreneurs invest $3 billion in retirement assets into the small businesses and franchises of their dreams. So if you've got $50,000 or more in a 401k and you're looking for a way to start a business, call Guidant Financial now for free information and to learn more. Operators are standing by for your call. 800-808-5181. 800-808-5181. 800-808-5181. That's 800-808-5181.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Want to build a maintenance-free, low and slow charcoal briquette fire that burns for hours for free? MeatMastersRadio.com will show you how to build a low-temp charcoal fire that's guaranteed fiddle-proof. It's easy and free. MeatMastersRadio.com teaches charcoal barbecue skills on new topics every week. Go to MeatMastersRadio.com. That's MeatMastersRadio.com.
I want to live this life unsafe, unsure, but not afraid.
Bill Martinez.
Can't push back the mountain, can't stand on the way. I can see through the darkness, I'll hold up a plane.
Your calls, your opinions. Bill Martinez, live.
Hey, it's all about you, America. Yeah, if we're going to pursue the truth together, it is for your benefit, we the people. I'm Bill Martinez, 14 minutes before the top of the hour. Cody Wilson is with us right now, former student of the University of Texas School of Law, founder, director of Defense Distributed, a nonprofit organization that developed and published the world's first open-source gun design suitable for 3-day printing. Now, Forbes called Wilson one of the most polarizing figures in technology, and Wired named him one of the 15 most dangerous people in the world. Cody Wilson, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
Good to be here, man. Thank you for having me.
Hey, Cody, break this down. I mean, you're going to law school, and all of a sudden, you and some other friends, you're talking, and you start looking at the possibilities of a 3D gun. And how does the genesis come about for for the Wiki Weapon?
Sure. I mean, years ago, we realized, we looked at examples like WikiLeaks. And of course, we're all much more grateful for WikiLeaks, today than we were maybe 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm, right.
Well, we looked at the example of what that group was doing, and simply because of the internet. And, there was a payments blockade and everything trying to stop them. And we realized a lot of their philosophy was just about, anything that could be fit into pictures and emails. But we realized, well, with these new devices, these new material printers and everything else that was happening with digital manufacturing, it meant that the internet would also enable you to make things, and to make things even that people didn't want you to make. And we thought that applied first and foremost to the gun.
And so when you first thought about that in terms of, let's take it to its fullest. Whether it's guns, anything else that people would not suspect, but this is what this technology opened the door to. Did you think that, you might be getting yourself, going down a dark road here or something?
Well, I don't think you could ever, especially when you're young and you're dumb, right, which I don't claim to not be anymore, but I think you begin any project with a sense of optimism. And hopefully enough naivete to realize that, it's to at least think that you could get it done. I mean, one aspect of our project was we were too dumb to realize we couldn't do it. Mm-hmm. And that's why we were the first people to do it, you know.
Yeah. So yeah, because everybody else was listening to the other people saying, well, you can't do that. So they gave up, but you guys didn't know better, right?
That's exactly it. And I think that's some of what, like, the events of my book that I've written are kind of include. Like, well, look, sometimes you have to do things without even really understanding how to do them, just kind of believing in the raw politics and optimism of your idea. But this began in a beautiful place. We thought the future of the Internet meant, you know, the ultimate empowerment of the individual and access to firearms. And look, you've got me kind of being way more optimistic than I normally am day to day right now. But that's where we were. We were in this very nice. We thought the political was very personal, and the guns would be like in people's hands. And we thought printing a gun would be a suggestion of that future. So difficult to contradict, regardless of whatever gun control that, you know, would be passed in the years to come.
We're talking about Cody's book, Come and Take It, The Gun Printer's Guide to Thinking Free. And Cody, as you're doing this, I mean, you're starting to put some meat on the bones. And as you say, you're getting excited because you're onto something here. I mean, this thing starts to layer into something that has application beyond just, printing up a gun.
Yeah, that's right. And it not only does doing these things teach you a lot just about traditional machining and computers and software and even other people, but, you know, you begin to explore a whole umbrella and a whole other world and environment of technology. So, sure, we use 3D printing, and people have learned about that now. They know it's just plastic, and it's not, you know, the kinds of guns you make aren't the same as the guns you go buy or the guns you enjoy at home, but there's other techniques like milling and home milling and CNC, and these things apply, like the same principles apply. So a lot of the things that you can do at home now are just as good as what you might be able to attempt commercially. And I include 3D printing in that, but there's a beautiful array of things out there right now. It's never been easier to make a gun. And that's what we're organized to do, to help people be able to take that into their own hands.
Now, you talk about, again, to kind of bring some people up to date, they've heard a little bit about 3D printing. There's been some conversation about it. And I think probably more, you know, what you're suggesting here, there's probably more misunderstood about 3D printing than what it actually is all about. So in the most simplistic of terms, explain 3D printing and the gun that is produced as a result of it and what it can do and what it can't do.
Okay. I'm really bad at this. Mm-hmm. 3D printing is basically just three or four main technologies. They all kind of look the same, but they're all based on fundamentally different concepts. But ultimately, you're using either a laser or like a hot glue gun type apparatus to create objects from plastic or polymer-like materials. And those objects are pre-programmed on your computer. Mm-hmm. So the device you're using just recreates that object in space with material. It's an additive process. So, like, a lot of the printers from the earlier days and when we started printing guns were just using basic kinds of polymers and plastics. But these days, the materials are getting more and more complicated. Composite materials, ceramics, they end up looking and behaving like metals, but they're not. And so it's really still a very exciting time. It's just the consumer experience of 3D printing has been so limited, both its definition and its ambition. So we've discovered all kinds of things with composite pistols and plastic pistols, which was exciting, but all accidental, of course. Mm-hmm. We weren't trying to say the future of guns is plastic pistols.
Right.
We were trying to say, oh my God, you know, look, the future of the firearm is so diverse and varied, and it's not just metal, and it's not just doing it this one way. We've always done it, you know, for a couple hundred years. So that's kind of our entree into the firearms.
What happens, Cody, if 3D printing and this technology gets into the hands of the bad guys? I mean, anything that is out there and that you guys created can be, you know, like anything, be used for good or for evil.
Well, you said it. You said like anything. And so, you know, we're at the common man is at such a disadvantage compared to the bad guys because the bad guys are getting all their guns directly from the U.S. government in Syria and five other places in parts across the world. I mean, the bad guy has his pick of guns, and it seems more and more these days, good guys and the people in gun control states have no selection at all. So I'm not, you know, I have a mature position when it comes to absolute freedom. Like, freedom means that bad people can have it too, and that's why we have public libraries. That's why you can go read about making a book or making a gun in a library. We don't stop people from doing that, and I don't think we should stop people from having access to computers and learning about these things that we've done as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, relevant to the conversation of our Second Amendment right, and some have argued that that was then, this is not now. Historically, when you look at the disarming of populations in various countries, it comes with a dire price. And I do not think that America is ready to give up their guns or the Second Amendment right.
Yeah, I mean, I have to agree. I want to agree. I'm so discouraged when I look at examples like in California, how they just so easily yield to things like Gavin Newsom's Proposition 63 and the recent bills that Governor Brown signed. I mean, I'm seeing a whole quarter of our country that can't even possess an AR-15 without extreme difficulty, and that makes me pessimistic. But no, states like Texas and Middle America and South, like their honor culture holds fast to their Second Amendment. And though I'm discouraged that the Hillary Clinton presidency spells a certain legal end of the Second Amendment, I believe our traditions will live on, and hopefully groups like mine and what we've done will continue to place that technology directly in the people's hands so that they can live into new generations.
Well, and this is what is being realized at the local level. And, this is the plus and minuses of having 50 laboratories in the states around this country. And people may choose to live in a different state. I know for me, I've chosen to live in certain states that honor the Second Amendment. I moved out of California because I saw what was happening on many levels. The Second Amendment was just one of the reasons for me to exit stage left.
I commend you for making that decision. Many of the customers and people we talk to are making the same. Many people are moving now from Connecticut, New York, California. I'm a little nervous, actually. I kind of tell them, hey, stay there. We don't need you to mess it up here.
Right.
But no, like, voting with your feet is still apparently something we're allowed to do in this country, at least for now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's beautiful. And yeah. I hope that we can create some type of Southern or Midwestern firewall and protect those civic traditions and sacred liberties that mean everything to the American Republic. And I include the Second Amendment in those first freedoms.
Yeah, with the freedoms and with the rights come responsibilities. And most of us understand that. Some do not. Again, when you look at the people and the people across this great country of ours, and you reduce their dignity and their level of responsibility, then you put yourself in a position of some political thought that says you need to control them. This is what we're fighting for now, is we're fighting once again, for the freedoms that we've as we were growing up, Cody, maybe we took for granted. And we're now having to push back against, this wave that's going across this country that disrespects we the people.
You said it. It's about dignity. It's about pushing back. And it's about cultivating consciously every single day those freedoms which you have to be on guard for.
Exactly. Well, Cody, thank you very much for coming on the show. Appreciate it. Author of Come and Take It, The Gun Printer's Guide to Thinking Free, founder and director of Defense Distributed. How can you get your hands on your book?
Oh, it's on Amazon, sir, all fine booksellers, and I appreciate you letting me talk about it today.
Well, thank you so much. Cody Wilson on Bill Martinez Live. That is a wrap for us. We'll see you mañana right here on the SDG Radio Network.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Investment Rarities, a 43-year-old company, has created the best silver offer ever. Get a U.S. Silver Eagle, Canadian Maple Leaf, Austrian Philharmonic, OPM Pierre Bar, and Silver Round. Have all five for $99 postpaid. You heard me right, 5 ounces of silver below cost. No credit card fees, free shipping. Just $99 and you'll have a great start on what it takes to survive even the worst economic storm. Act now and receive Jim Cook's exclusive paper explaining how it's possible to make a fortune in silver today. Don't miss this opportunity. Call 800-328-1860. Read how the above-ground supply of silver has dropped below even gold. The secret is being suppressed. The price could explode at any time. Call today at 800-328-1860. Get 5 ounces of silver for only $99. Find them on the web at investmentrarities.com or call 800-328-1860. Call now before it's too late. 800-328-1860.
We've all heard about the health benefits.